Victor Alpha 4, Romeo November Yankee. Victor Echo 4, Victor Alpha 4, Hotel Romeo Yankee. Hotel Romeo Yankee. I'll get it right after a while. You buy the frequency, Henry?
Yeah, go ahead, Emil. VA3HRY.
Yeah, my balloon beacon, and it's on its way to Ecuador. I'm not sure if it passed the equator or not yet. Let me see. Go to the map. No, it's just on the border of the equator, and it's heading for Ecuador, either Ecuador or Colombia. Very rare for balloons to go to the equator, actually. Anyway, how does your balloon make out today? Over.
You know, that's what I was thinking. Even the first time you told me about that a few days ago, you know, you're thinking about the jet stream and that, and the balloon drift all the way to the equator. And hang on, now I'm looking for mine. I haven't looked at it today. And I don't know if I should go 3 days or 7 days. Here we go. What KC3LBR? Oops. No, can't see it.
Comment.
Yeah, go ahead there, Lewis. Welcome aboard.
Last transmission was 3 days ago. It's over Edmonton. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, Emil, you asked an interesting question. I might have the answer. The reason the balloons don't go to the southern hemisphere is something around the equator that's called the intertropical convergence zone. In the northern hemisphere, everything, the atmosphere, if you look at your drain, it spins clockwise. If you go to the southern hemisphere, everything spins counterclockwise, which is kind of weird, but that's just the way the, you know, physics works. So it kind of acts as a boundary. So if you have something like a balloon, because of the where the two at the equator, it just kind of bounces off that area because of the way the air currents work. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Balloons don't normally go to the south. Back to you, Emil.
Yeah, very good. I'll have to go look at the jet stream, the viscosity, whatever it's called, and your balloon there was over Edmonton. It's over Edmonton, I think it last beaconed. Let me see. It last beaconed 3 days ago there, Henry. Straight over Edmonton. Edmonton, yeah. That's kind of neat. Actually, it was Adrian that told me that balloons rarely go to the equator. Now, I know in 3 days it didn't go very much further towards the equator, but it got closer to it, so... Gosh, what happens if it crosses the equator? Then it's going to start going the other way? Over.
Are you asking me or are you asking Henry?
Oh, I meant to ask you there, Lewis. That's pretty much has anything to do with the magnetic field, I wonder?
I don't really know all the physical, the geophysics behind it. I think it may have something to do with that. Because of the polar field, the way it is. Earth is kind of like a big magnet, and that's because the core of the center of the Earth, the way it spins, we have this thing called the magnetosphere, which affects all kinds of atmospheric and physical processes. You can really go down a lot of rabbit holes. That's way beyond my pay grade. I mean, I just remember that from kind of basic, earth science courses I took. But I just, knew that in the northern hemisphere, when something goes down the drain, it goes clockwise. In the southern hemisphere, it goes counterclockwise. And I guess my question now is I could find out what happens if you're right at the equator. But the equator is just really kind of I don't know how to explain it. It's not like a belt. Or it's not like, hundreds of miles, but, when you cross that boundary, I mean, it's kind of like a boundary between, the boundary between the United States and Canada, of course, much of it's artificial. Boundary between Texas and Mexico, at least in Texas, and Mexico is the Rio Grande Valley, so part of it can be geographic. Let me pause. Part of it can be, either sort of a man-made boundary or just a geographic, a mountain range or a river or, something else defines the boundaries between countries, but that's all by agreement, by international agreement. But when you get to the sort of physical earth sciences, that boundary is very, let's say thin for lack of a better word, but that's the way I understand it. But, that's quite interesting. But, your balloon's done really well. I wasn't aware that Henry had a balloon up there as well. Over.
Let me try to explain. He adopted a balloon so he could follow this balloon and see exactly what it does. Over.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Okay. So he didn't actually like Scott and Adrian, they launched their own balloons. So you can actually adopt a balloon? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found it quite more informative when you follow the balloon instead of following the 250 of them. If you follow the balloon, you'll see individually you can see how far it traveled and generally he'll watch it and he'll ask me why I did this and why I did that. So I just say, you adopted this balloon. Actually, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 people following each their own particular balloon, which I just call it adopt a balloon. And you get to find out a little more specific of what each of them does there. Over.
So I didn't know that. So, gosh, you learn something new every day. I'll turn it back over to Henry, VA3HRY from KC5RJL in the group.
Yeah, Lewis, I wasn't aware of that either until Emil talked about it, and he adopted it, and it's the KC3LBR-226 balloon, and that's what I've been following. Yeah, it beaconed, Emil, it beaconed 3 days, 1 hour ago, and it's at 12,820 meters, so it's still healthy. Of course, it hasn't gone around like what yours has. And I'm guessing that if your balloon does go past the equator and keeps going south, it might get caught in the jet stream flowing or going the opposite way, east to west, unlike what we have in the north, west to east kind of thing. So that's what I'm just guessing. That's the only science I can offer. Go ahead, Emil.
Yeah, very good. Well, Henry, your balloon, if you check your notes there, it's actually